So, Father, we just ask you to help us focus on you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who leads us to the Father through Jesus, by exalting Jesus. Lord, we just want your help. We need you. We need you to do anything and everything in life so it can be fruitful for the kingdom. Amen. Okay, so I want to, I don't know whether they're going to put any of this up, but I want to start by going to Isaiah 30, verse 18. And today I want to talk about the importance of God, of understanding that God wants to be gracious to us, and the importance of persevering prayer. So I just got to watch the time, so that's why I prefer to have the phone, because we're running a little late this morning. It says here in verse 18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy towards you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall hear that, see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, then you will defile your carved idols, overlaid with silver, and your gold-plated metal images. You shall scatter them as unclean things. You will say to them, be gone. And then he goes on and talks about all the good things. But the context of Isaiah 30 is that the Assyrian Empire has just come on the stage. It's a bit like, I suppose, an analogy of today is if you look at China, all of a sudden, China is a very powerful nation, almost overnight. And this is what happened with the Assyrians. The Assyrians were noted as, at the time, I know some Assyrians today, I actually played football, soccer with a number of them one time. They're very lovely people, they're lovely Christian people. But in those days, they were vicious people. Everyone feared them. Just hearing about them brought fear into people. And Israel was going to be a victim because the Lord said Israel had moved away from him. And this is a sort of a theme in the Old Testament, isn't it? Where the people are given the covenant, they're freed from Egypt, they're given a certain amount of liberty, then they use that liberty to worship idols, even when the Ten Commandments were given. When Moses was with God, he comes down the mountain and they're worshipping false gods. Didn't take long. This is the story of humanity. And, you know, it's funny enough that in Christian circles, usually when we encounter the Lord starts to bless us. And he also blesses us materially as well. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel here. We're simply saying that as we obey God in all areas of our life prospers. And it does prosper at times even financially because we're walking in God's ways. It's called a redemptive lift that we experience. We've all experienced this. I look at people here, look at ourselves. I had a Holden car that was my whole. Well, I have a little bit more now. I usually accumulate a bit of wealth as you get older, but we never needed anything. God has. But you know that very thing then becomes the thing that takes us away from God. This is the tragedy of it. The things that, as we prosper, those things become more important than God. And this is what happened to the people of Israel. And we look back, we don't look back, oh, they were terrible people. No, we do the same thing. I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking we as a Christian church. And so it's important to understand that we always have to be on guard, as I spoke at earlier time. But today I want to talk about in the midst of all that happens, it's important to keep praying. And the Lord gives them this scripture in Isaiah 30 to encourage them to turn back to Him. If they turn back to Him, He will hear their prayer. He will be gracious to them. I remember I was at one time in my life, I wasn't having a good time, and I rang a person who was one of my mentors, and he gave me this scripture. The Lord is waiting to be gracious to you, to rise and take pity on you. For the Lord is a just God. Happy are those who trust in Him. And I hung on to that for 2 years, and then I got a breakthrough. But I had to hang on to that. It wasn't instant. Prayer is not magic. It's not always answered instantly. Sometimes it is. Mostly it's not. Mostly we have to persevere in prayer. Some things Julian and I have prayed for have taken 10 and 20 years for us to see fruition. I was given a prophecy very early in my walk with God. It was a significant prophecy. And the last part of that, there were six things, has only come into fruition in the last few years. It's taken over 40 years. Some of it, there were 6 points. I won't go into them. Some of them were answered quickly. But one of them, it's only now or in the last couple of years that I can say I've seen fruit from it. You see, it's not always happens like that. So with that in mind and with that bit of background, we want to just talk a little bit about, we always want to honour Jesus, and I do acknowledge that I have listened to one of Tim Keller's talks on this, although I'm giving my own talk, but there is a couple of things that I'll quote from him. The next thing I want you to do is to go to Luke chapter 11, having said all that as an introduction, and we just want to read a little bit of Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, okay, so Jesus used to go off, and pray. The disciples noticed something about that and something about him when he came out of prayer. And one of them was astute enough to say, teach us how to pray. Okay, teach us how to pray. Which is fair enough because John's disciples taught them how to pray. This is what it says. And he said, of course, what we know, the Lord's Prayer. This is a pattern of prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So he gives that. Interesting. I want to just make a comment of a positive comment. Recently, we've had a lot of talks about forgiveness. And I've noticed, you know, there was a word about families here. I mean, in every family, there's problems. You don't have to look very far or deep or wide. There are problems in every family. But I want to commend you as a group of people, because I've seen people work through difficult forgiveness issues over the last two or three months. And it's the glue that holds us together. It's the glue that holds any family together. If there's no forgiveness, there'll be no family. And it's the same with any group in the church. Unless we can overcome hurt, pain that will be caused by anyone. By the way, Peter denied Jesus. Jesus forgave him straight away. Had Jesus not forgiven him, we wouldn't be here today. Forgiveness is critical to the spiritual life. Anyway, I'll read on. Now, to get to the point, I don't usually give long preambles. I'm usually a person that gets straight into it. But let's read on after that from verse 5. And he said to them, which of you has a friend and will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet it's because of his impudence. Impudence means something, the Greek words mean something like this, persistence to the point of annoyance. Okay? That's what it means. Persistence to the point of annoyance. And we all know people like that, but that's, here, this is a good thing. He will rise up and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. You know this one, for everyone who asks always receives. The one who seeks always finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give your good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we have here a parable. Now, a parable is different than an allegory. A parable makes one point. And we'll read also Luke 18 in a minute, which is about the widow who pesters the judge. The judge is made out in the story of in Luke 18. I'll read it straight from here. As he's arrogant anyway. He's got qualities. I'll go to it in 18 and tell you his qualities. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. So we can't liken God the Father to that type of person. See, a lot of people get confused with the Bible. It's not supposed to. There's one point. It's like the prodigal son. There's one point to be made, and that is God loves the wayward sinner. God is a loving God. It's a parable. It's a story. So this is also a parable and a story. And what we have to do is to take what the point of the story is and not get too concerned about all the other things that are on the side. But we need to understand that that is the difference between a parable and something that's written in allegorical fashion. So having said that, I'll go on with this. Now, this guy, he goes to his friend. It's a story of a person who goes to his friend at a very inconvenient time. Midnight was midnight in those days. It's not midnight in our time because it was the darkest point of the evening. They had no lights. They had nothing.
Everything was dark and it's called midnight. So we went at a very difficult time. The guy lived in a one-room home, which was typical. You know, if you look at, for example, all the clothes you've got in your wardrobe, just give it a couple of hundred years ago and people only had one or two, if they were fortunate, set of clothes. That's most people. Okay, you have, we need to remember that. We need to remember that most people lived in one, even not that long ago, lived in very small homes. These people only had one room. So everyone slept in the same room. That's what happens. And if you go to Uganda today, there are some people who still live like that. And they have a little kitchen at the back, on the back steps. So this is the context. This guy, he's got his family, he's sleeping. This bloke comes in, says, I've got somebody's rolled up in my house. He had a duty because hospitality was very important in our culture and still is, to go and get him some bread. Now, he went to get this bread at a very, very, not the right time, obviously. But Jesus goes on to say, that he, the friend inside, I'll read it from here, the notes, so I'll keep to the text, to ask for it because another friend had arrived unexpectedly and he had no food to offer. The friend inside the house initially refuses, citing the inconvenience and the lateness of the hour. However, due to the requester's persistence, or boldness, or the word importunity, which can be translated persistent to the point of annoyance, or boldness, or shameless audacity, the friend eventually gets up and provides the needed bread. So Jesus is teaching this parable so that we can approach God in the same way. That's the whole point of the parable. Do you approach God in that way, with that audacity? Now, this is only one aspect of prayer, all right? Some people come at me and say, you know, there's this about that. It's right. This is only one aspect, but it's a very important aspect, okay? We can't just forget about it because God wants us to be bold. Another thing I want to say, and this, I will quote Tim Keller directly, is about how we approach God, how we see God. And I'll tell you. He says this, there are two ways we can see God in prayer. And I think that we all have been in this. God is either the boss or a father. And this is critical to this whole sermon. When I see God as the boss, then it's not a family relationship. Okay? Because we all fear the boss a bit, don't we? Even here, a few people still fear me. Not that many. Hopefully none, but it's natural. With any, I've been in places where I fear the boss. Okay? So if we don't, but if we go to someone we know well, like our father or mother or spouse, to ask for something, we're usually more confident that we're going to receive it because we know they love us. So if we can believe that God loves us, then we can ask boldly. Because it's a father-son, father-daughter relationship. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go boldly to our natural fathers. For example, if we don't have any money, we can boldly go and we can probably expect something if they've got it. But if we go to the boss, well, if he's a good boss, he might help us out. But he may not. We don't know. You see, so it's critical before we get into this persevering prayer that we understand that God is our Father and He wants to bless us. If we don't have that, if we see God in a transaction way, as a boss, all right, as a God who is to be feared, and there is a fear of the Lord, which is a godly thing, but there's an unhealthy fear of God, which is a pagan thing. They're different. All these things are important. And as I said earlier, I'm not suggesting this is the only way Jesus teaches us to pray. Because in the Lord's Prayer, He's got a whole list of things. But He wants us to be persistent. And isn't it interesting, after giving the Lord's Prayer, and after being asked, how do we pray, Jesus goes into this. And it finishes with, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. It's pretty clear. There's no parable about that or being allegorical. It's simply a fact. Ask, search, and find. And knock. Sorry. So, remember, there are two ways we can see God or approach Him, and that is either as a boss or the head of the pyramid, or we can approach Him as a father. And from that point, we can be bold in what we ask for. We can ask for anything as long as we're not asking to sin. That's an obvious exception. But even asking for selfish things is permissible, in a sense. God will then refine that prayer and work on you for a little while before He probably gives it to you. I tell you, I wouldn't be here today had I not learnt this lesson. To be bold before God. To cry out before Him. And again, it's usually the desperate to do this. And that's why as we get richer, as we get more healed and more together, we tend then to forget about God. That's what happens. The next parable. These parables all tell you the same story, but we're going to go to the widow now in Luke 18. And I'll read that one out. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. There you go. I just want to stop here. If you've been praying for something and you've lost heart, we'll pray for you at the end. Okay? In a certain city was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, Luke is not saying that God is like that, as I said earlier, because this is a parable. Look, a lot of people have turned away from God, young people particularly, not only because the culture is very much anti this, anti the Bible, but because the Bible has not been explained to them properly. Okay? They don't understand it. They just see it. If you don't have someone to help you with it, it can happen. And that's why it's important to read the Word of God and then to ask questions from that. Okay, let's go back to this. What do I do with that? In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, okay, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Okay, so this passage illustrates again the concept of persevering prayer. It's a story of a persistent widow who keeps coming to an unjust judge, seeking justice against her adversary. Initially, the judge ignores her, please, but because of her persistence and relentless requests, which are translated from the Greek as exhausting, he eventually gives her justice so that she stops bothering him. And Jesus concludes, if this unjust judge is prepared to this, how much more will our loving Heavenly Father give gifts to those who ask him? The key to the parable is to never give up in prayer. Never, ever. Even when it seems to be delayed. The story encourages us to have persistent and unwavering faith in God's goodness and timing. Jesus assures his disciples that God will ultimately bring about justice and respond to their needs when they continue to pray without losing heart. Both these passages, Luke 11 and Luke 18, both of them underscore the importance of persevering prayer. They teach us to be persistent in prayer, to trust God and to trust him as a father and to trust his character, because God is always good. His willingness to respond to genuine requests. Through these parables, Jesus invites his followers to maintain a consistent and unwavering connection with their Heavenly Father, knowing that he hears and answers the prayers of those who seek him with faith and perseverance. There are times in life where we seek God for important things in our life, our calling. If we're getting married, to pray for the right person that God would have with us. When we're buying a home, we see these we probably see God, particularly if we don't have enough money. Where we work, we seek God, and if we don't feel we're in the right job, we have to ask God. There are a very number of things, there are important things that we normally tend to seek God in when our children go astray, things like that. But in this, God is saying also that it could be the most simple of needs. It could be the most simple of needs. Go back to what we said earlier. Let me see. So one more thing I want to say before we finish and ask those to come up for prayer. How are we going for time? Okay, good. When we're desperate for God, God is more likely to come through. Now, we can also, in a sense, answer prayer ourselves. I'll tell you what I mean by that. This is when we've got a problem and we seek another remedy, not directly from God. Now, in these remedies, there's nothing wrong with them. Some of them are good and we should pursue them, okay? However, usually, if we can do it ourselves in our own strength, what will happen is the fruit of that solution and the fruit of something that we have done won't be lasting. For example, if I've got a problem with alcohol, say, okay, now I can try to beat that myself. And if I have strong enough willpower and enough encouragement from friends, I may be able to overcome it. I also could go to God and ask Him to help me. That's not to say that I don't do the other things that God would be asking me to do. And we have two people. One is in category one and one is in category two. Well, both of them may get the result of getting free from alcohol. But what you'll find in most cases, the person who has done it by their own strength, in the long term, other problems will emerge from that. They may have given up alcohol, but the problem has been transferred to something else. And it comes out maybe in addiction to something else. But when we do it through prayer and through God, first and foremost, I'm not saying only, because God may ask us to go to AA or He may ask us to do something from that. But when we do it in prayer, in the way we've been told about persistent prayer here, it has more lasting impact in that the root of the problem will get dealt with as well in most cases. But we have to persevere. A lot of us think we can just make one prayer and it's all over. Well, it's not. Because I can tell you the experience of life does not give us those. Sometimes it happens, mostly it doesn't. It's persistent prayer. And it is interesting that Jesus twice here in teaching people to pray, the first thing he talks about is persistence in prayer. We can deal with other issues later about prayer. There's all sorts of things, contemplative prayer, praying in tongues, all sorts. But the attitude of persistence is absolutely necessary.